welcome to A Few Goldilocks Bears podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about things we love, things that we hate, and things in the middle. This could be things that we're indifferent about, that we're ambivalent about, that we're on the fence about. These are the gray areas of life. These are the things that aren't in the black and white, that they don't maintain to your precious polar opposites.
Hello, this is Vincent Cloud.
This is John Nemitz.
And I'm David Lauer.
And before we get into our loves, hates, and indifferences, ambivalences, let's talk about old topics in the segment that's called the Daisha Fuse. I will start this off. We were talking about nosebleeds and how I hate them. Some cultures don't mind them. In anime, when a character feels aroused or feels horny, apparently they will start to bleed from the nose.
What?
Yeah.
What anime is this?
Weird.
I've never seen.
No, it's been slowly creeping in, apparently. Like, I remember seeing this referenced one time, perhaps even seeing it in an anime, but like, why would I ever watch new anime? But yeah, I've heard of this. And I looked it up. I'm like, yeah, sure enough, it's so gross. And it's always used, yeah, it's used to comedic effect. Yeah, like some cheerleaders and this guy in the high school, and he starts to drip like, oh, it's almost like, oh, that's, you know, having a boner I don't want to happen. But instead, they just get nosebleeds. They're like, oh, isn't that fucked up?
Yeah, so is it like some kind of like innuendo, like it gets your blood pumping, so then your blood's pouring out of your nose, you got so much blood pumping?
Yeah.
See, I always... thought that there'd be so much blood in one's member that there wouldn't be enough left to come out of your nose.
They do it different over there in that crazy island.
Yeah, only for those who are lucky enough to be well endowed down there.
Wait a minute. So what did they think when in Pacific Rim, when that character starts to bleed from the nose, you know? Because in the movie, he has cancer. But to them, they're like, oh, dirty old man. That's your daughter.
Lady. Yeah.
I'm going to watch a UFC fight. When I see a guy with a bloody nose, I'm going to be like, oh, what a perv.
Oh, you're liking this too much.
Punch me in the face again.
That's so gross. But yeah. All right, let's get the show started. John.
All right. I love the concert film Stop Making Sense, as performed by the Talking Heads, directed by Jonathan Demme. You might know him from things like Philadelphia, Something Wild, The Silence of the Lambs, perhaps.
If he called it Stop Being Silent, that would have been great.
I think this came out in 1984. Kind of Talking Heads was, I'd say, different from a lot of the contemporary music at the time. I love the way that it was kind of filmed and put together. If I recall correctly, they filmed it over like three performances of the show. At like kind of different lengths, or focal lengths or whatever. So like one where they're like up with the musicians, and that's where they're getting all the close-ups and everything. And then one kind of like kind of the front row view looking at up at them. And then one kind of from the back to get more of a view, like a bigger picture of the show, which I think is really smart. Cause then like you never see the camera people in the shot because like all the close-up stuff was done like at a different time from when the farther back stuff was. So you don't get distracted by the camera crew and whatnot. And I'm also a big fan of how they just built out the band in the first four songs. So I'm not going to go through the entire set list or anything, but just, you know, they start out with Psycho Killer. It's just, David Byrne with a guitar and his boombox and kind of an acoustic version of one of their well-known songs. And he does this weird like falling down dancing at the end, like he's stumbling and then catching himself. Then Tina Weymouth comes out for the next song where they do a duet of Heaven. Then Chris France comes out on the drums for Thank You for Sending Me an Angel. Tina does this weird kind of hunched over dancing, playing the bass guitar, which kind of does throughout the whole concert. And then finally, for Found a Job, Jerry Harrison comes out. And then at the end of that song, they push out the rest of the stage. And then for the next song, they have all like the backup singers and all the supporting musicians and stuff. And they've got the full band out there and their full sound. I love how like the dancing is all kind of dorky but captivating in its own way. And like very simple but like kind of easy to watch and kind of hard to not watch. Like I've had this on just kind of like to listen to the music before, but I'll just find myself just like staring at what they're doing. Of course, gotta mention the giant suit that he wears towards the end. Like that's pretty iconic from this, the oversized like business suit or whatever. There's also some controversy when he goes to do the outfit change or whatever, and they play the Tom Tom Club song. I guess that actually got Tina like in trouble with her sisters, because like they basically it wasn't the real Tom Tom Club playing that song. It was just like the band that was up there, and normally she would go on, like her sisters were in the Tom Tom Club with her along with other members of the band, but for the Stop Making Sense tour, they just played that song. And because they weren't the other band members weren't going to tour around for the entire thing just to play one song every
Right.
night. But then that when this got immortalized in this concert show and they called it the Tom Tom Club, but then it wasn't like the other band members, they got upset about that, and to the point where like I think her sisters didn't talk to her for years after that, which is kind of a bummer. And like just kind of the behind the scenes stuff with the Talking Heads is kind of a bummer too. Just that seems like there was always a lot of drama and stuff.
Ah, oh, shit.
But
Is that the one that
the
sounds like the Mariah Carey thing? Like, did it, did it, did it,
yeah,
did it,
exactly.
did it.
It's in
Okay,
like
cool.
TJ Maxx commercials now or Marshalls or whichever one it
Right.
is. But other than that, like I love just the song choices and like the soundtrack and the just the looks and the vibe of this whole thing.
Yeah, I watch this on my treadmill because if you guys send me like something to watch or something to listen to, I'll usually do it on my treadmill. And I gotta say, it fits. It's treadmill energy because like it's a lot of the songs are fast paced, and then you have these players, running
Oh,
in
yeah.
place, and then eventually David, whatever, right? He's running around
Yeah, literally
the
doing laps
stage.
around the stage.
Right, yeah. So actually, it worked out just fine. It was so bizarre, but as soon as they started playing the Mariah Carey or whatever, I was like, wait a minute. But also, that's repurposed in a newer song, like "Big Dick Energy." I think that's the song, or
Oh,
"Big
really?
D Energy." Yeah.
Oh, I don't know that one.
And then it kind of threw me off near the end when they were playing the Billy Bass song.
No, that's what I always think of, the Big Mouth Billy Bass. Take me to the river.
And I was like, you better not end on the song. I can't take it seriously, but they ended on something else. But yeah, this was cool. This was really in terms of doing the stumbling thing, I was like, oh shit, Tom York, should I say ripped it off or played homage? I don't know. But he does that. He does the tumbling thing for like, I don't know, 3 seconds. And I'm like, oh shit, is that where you got it from, Tom? But
Well,
then
the
don't they idolize Talking Heads though?
yeah, I was
Doesn't
gonna say
Tom Waits?
the name Radiohead comes from a Talking Heads song,
Oh,
actually.
nice. Cool. And then finally, I think they captured, I mean, if they love Talking Heads so much, the closest to them sounding like them is in The King of Limbs, where they're working with samples. So they have all these things going on at once. And that's kind of what I get from Talking Heads, at least from this concert, because I've never listened to an album of theirs. So, but I will. I like this shit. Go ahead, Dave. What do you got?
Oh, I got nothing. I haven't seen the movie.
Oh
But I do like the director, Jonathan Demme, and I do like movies. I do want to check this out because I like the director. I like movies that are about bands and musical stuff. So it's pretty interesting. And I saw that do you see what the Rotten Tomatoes score was? The critic
no.
score? 100%. Wow.
Oh.
66 reviews, all positive. So, I mean, that's got to be rare, I would imagine. So, I definitely want to check this out.
Yeah, the lead singer eventually tucks his dick in between his legs.
Was that a Jonathan Demme? Is that something he likes to put in his movies?
Like, I'd fuck me.
Put the lotion in the basket. Oh, God.
I do think David Byrne at in this era looks a lot like what's his name? Cillian Murphy in Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Wow, I was thinking about that too. That's funny. Yeah, okay, so outside of this, I imagine this was not a full album, but like, you know, from pieces of their other stuff. What
Right, yeah.
recommend an album? What's a nice one to get, you know, ease
I mean,
into
I
it?
love their first album, Talking Heads 77.
Okay.
But yeah, that
Remain in Light, is that a thing?
yeah, that's one for sure.
That's what
That's a
Tom
good
York's
one.
is like. That's my inspiration,
Oh,
especially that
okay.
one or something. Yeah.
Well, there, yeah, that might be a good one for you to start with then.
Cool. Yeah. I really enjoyed this. Even weird stuff where like the cameraman had a light attached to it, like a spotlight almost. And so he was you working with the shadows of the band, and that was kind of going around like.
Oh, yeah.
They kept thinking of ways for me to get interested in the concert. Like it's very visually, it grabs your attention. Like the are all those people in the band, like the two backup dancers and singers, for example?
No, that
Oh, okay.
not always, just for the that concert tour
Okay.
and maybe other tours as well, but I don't think they were in necessarily like the studio recordings or anything.
Okay.
But yeah, shout out to them. They were awesome. And I was gonna comment on the other guitarist, Alex Weir, where like he and David were both doing like the same weird like high-stepping running dance or whatever. And somehow like, you know, David just looked so dorky doing it, but the other guy looked really cool doing it. Like even though it was like pretty close to the same thing that they were doing.
That's right, yeah.
Got to shout out him dancing with the lamp, like
Yeah.
the 6 foot tall lamp or whatever it was. And then one thing I would have liked to see more of is the one song where they just have like the words on the screen behind them. I'd be curious what all the words were.
Yeah.
I just remember a couple of them, like it was like public library, onions. Like what could possibly be the theme of all of these?
Oh man, that's great. Oh, so Documentary Now, I think their parody of this was just, you know, starts off with Fred Armisen as the lead dude. He's just playing a single guitar and they keep on adding people, but like to the craziest amount where like there's a big gong coming in and it's knocking people over and people are like, we can't breathe in here and shit. It just keeps piling up with stuff. That was so good.
Oh, that's pretty good. I should watch that.
Oh, one of my favorite songs, and I was on the treadmill. I couldn't look up the song, but it's when they're all in the dark almost. You could barely see them, and they're all like doing these long backing vocals or choral chorus vocals. What is that? I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I know I should. I'm not sure which one that was.
Yeah, just I don't know. I really enjoyed it. That was a unique experience. It's considered to be like one of the greatest film concert films ever. Until Taylor Swift came along with Eras, am I right, guys? Where are my
Maybe.
Swifties
I
out
mean,
there?
people seem to love it. Should
Right.
check that one's Rotten Tomato score, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. All right. Segue challenge.
Stop
You may ask
making this
yourself,
topic.
oh, stop making this topic. Okay, let's go someone. Go ahead, Dave.
I'm gonna talk about something I hate. I was inspired by this topic because I was watching Pulp Fiction, and in Pulp Fiction, like where there's Jonathan Travolta and
Jonathan
Samuel L. Jackson
Travolta.
driving in the car. Jonathan. I should look at his birth certificate. Maybe it's just John. But they're driving in the car in the beginning of the movie, and he's like, "Hey, you still got your Malibu?" He's like, "You know what some fucker did to my car?" He's like, "Somebody keyed it." He's like, "I had it in storage for 3 years, got it out for 5 days, and somebody keyed it." And he's like, John Travolta, I just love the way he said the line at the end of the conversation. He's like, "You don't fuck with another man's vehicle. You just don't do it." And it reminded me because when I was like 20 years old, somebody slashed the tires on my truck, and I had three flat tires. They slashed three of my tires. I've had someone break a window on my truck. They broke into like n when my tires got slashed, I was the only truck that got slashed in my whole. I lived in an apartment building. I was the only one who was touched there. With a broken glass, that like three other people got their cars like busted into. And like they stole a bunch of change out of the center console, but they didn't touch like the Super Nintendo and like my 20 Super Nintendo games I had in the back seat, which I was like, what a bunch of idiots. Like, if you're gonna break into a car, at least take the loot that I had in there. Oh, thank God I didn't touch that. And then I've also had I was renting a place with a buddy, and there was a broken window when I got home from work one night. He says he doesn't know what happened, but like a bunch of my DVDs were missing. I had like box sets of like Seinfeld. This was like when everybody went to Walmart and bought box sets of DVDs and TV shows. So I had like Seinfeld, and I had what else? I had like I think Lord of the Rings and like Star Wars and like different like sets of movies. All this stuff got stolen. It just sucks. I hate it when people steal your shit or ruin your shit. Like when my tires got slashed, I'm not entirely sure if it was random or I might it like a week prior to that, I had to work at 7 in the morning, and it was like 3 in the morning, and somebody is outside the apartment building and they're blaring loud music. And I'm annoyed. It woke me up. Whatever. But it is what it is. They're playing loud music. I'm like, eventually they'll go away. Well, they start honking their horn. It's fucking 3 in the morning. And they're honking their horn a couple times, and it's like going on for like 3, 4 minutes. So I fucking went downstairs and I fucking went up to them, like in my pajamas. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Get the fuck out of here. A week later, my tires get slashed. I'm guessing that person knew that that was my truck and he was getting revenge because I yelled at him for being obnoxious. That's the
Wow.
only thing I can imagine is it was some kind of retaliation like that. I don't know. It's messed up because it's like you don't know what other people are going through. Like I accidentally backed into a car once, but I was a good person about it. I wrote down my insurance policy number, my insurance agent, my name, my phone number, like did the right thing. And that was an accident. But like people go around and will destroy people's shit on purpose, whether to steal stuff or just to get revenge on somebody. Or, if they are hard up for cash and they want to just steal your DVD sets and go take them to the pawn store so they can get $50 or whatever. I hate that kind of shit. It's done by losers, and people shouldn't do that kind of shit.
Dang. Yeah. Well, only a couple things have happened to me. John, if you don't mind, I'll go first. I was riding my bike and I went to a gas station and I remember leaving it outside like I always do, when coming back out, and it was gone. But I remember there was two people in that parking lot when I left it there. And then I'm walking back home, and then I hear these two younger dudes, or these two dudes anyways, in a house. I could see they're in the porch, and one of them's like, "Hey, what happened to your bike?" And the other guy's like, "Shh," and I'm like, But
Interesting.
then I was like, "What am I gonna do?" Maybe they're just wisecracking. I don't want to go up there. And I don't know. Like, it sucked. Like, I was already still trying to recover from my bike being stolen. It's fucked up because at that time my car was in the fucking shop, so I needed the bike. I mean, I would bike to work. Thankfully, I didn't live too far away. But like, now I'm like, oh well, now I have to walk. Thanks a lot, assholes. So that really sucked. And
So
then.
that's it. You just walked by. You didn't engage in any sort of John Wick-esque mission to get your bike back from those guys.
They stole my bike. They didn't kill my dog. I'm not gonna go crazy, all right?
Oh,
No, I just
man.
I wasn't sure what to do. I mean, besides, there was two people. Like, I could fight, but I don't want to fight two people. It's crazy. Yeah, I never did anything. Maybe I should have called the cops, but I don't know.
Well, yeah, I didn't, I wasn't sure if they were just like playfully fucking with you, or if you'd say like, yeah, man, what'd you guys do with my bike? And they'd be like, oh yeah, whatever, but who knows?
Yeah, and I mean, it was a shitty neighborhood, but that was the first time I really had to experience any of it, and I probably w how long did I live there until that happened? It was a while, so I guess I left my guard down. But okay, so I mentioned this before in a previous episode where I had a like I loved movies and I had all these DVDs and I was living with McMahon at the time. And I was like, oh man, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna splurge. I'm gonna go downstairs in the living room where we have this big ass screen TV, and I'm just gonna watch all my favorite movies. So I got this big Christmas tree box and filled them all with my favorite, and I put them down there. And I'm like, wait a minute, I gotta go do something. And I left and I came back and it was robbed, the whole thing. And since I love movies so much, instead of just dying right there, I was like, well, maybe. I never loved movies.
Yeah,
Maybe I love something else. I don't know, sports. What do people love? I love cars. I
love
don't know.
something cheaper, watching sports on TV.
Yeah, I was just like, maybe I should just do what other people love doing now. So yeah, but that really changed the course of my life. So yeah, there you go. Go. What about you, John? Did someone
definitely
steal
like
the show from you? Oh.
when I was in college, I had random stuff stolen from me, like my bike twice. The first time I found it, the second time, I guess it wasn't stolen. It was just like vandalized. Like somebody like was drunk or whatever and just started like kicking the tires of it, so they were like bent to shit, so like they wouldn't even like turn anymore. But somehow like I found out who it was, and he like paid for and we get repaired or whatever. I used to never lock my car doors, and I had like a big thing of like CDs stolen out of the car, which seems weird because like at the time, like to like sell a CD, especially like without the case, just like a loose CD, you're getting like less than a dollar. So like the whole thing they stole was, like I not that much. Luckily I had already ripped all those CDs to MP3, so I didn't have to give up my love of music because of that.
Yeah, I mean, what if it was just the great musical taste that you had? They were like, no, we're not going to get any of this on the black market. I just got to have that
I just
album.
love this guy's taste. Yeah,
Yeah.
could be.
I had that when I went to the pawn store and I bought like an iPod Nano, and it was like a purple one, and I didn't care what color it was, but it was like some girl named Heather used to own it, and it had all our playlists and all our music on there. And I was like, I don't know who this Heather is, but she's got good taste in music.
Nice. I had a car in for some kind of repair, and they didn't lock it, and someone stole the stereo out of it.
What?
But then they paid for me to get a new
Oh.
stereo at least, so that ended up not being so bad either. But yeah, luckily, like where I live now, knock on wood, it's pretty safe, and like like people leave packages out and they're fine, and like one neighbor accidentally left his car running overnight, and like it was still there in the morning, so that's all good.
Dang.
I know once I lost a laundry basket at a laundromat. Another time
Like
somebody
someone stole
stole
your
just a
clothes? Jeez.
well, it
Like,
was an empty basket, an
oh,
empty
just the
basket.
basket. Okay.
But
I thought it
actually
was like a basket of clothes.
somebody stole my clothes out of a dryer once at
Marla
the
Singer style from Fight
laundromat. Well,
Club.
I think they had like three of the dryers next to me, and then I had three dryers, and they emptied out like four dryers. And just like, I think they just thought it was theirs until they got home, hopefully. But it was like some old dude or something, and I don't know, maybe he wanted my clothes. And then I
Like
what else
eyeing
did
you up,
oh
he's like looking at your like size and like kind of, you know.
and
Yeah, that's a...
then also I never had my bike stolen, but I used to ride a bike around downtown Eau Claire. Because I thought, like, I don't want to get a DUI, so I'll ride a bike home from the bar, which turns out you can still get a DUI for riding a bike drunk. But I would chain it like behind, like on, like behind, where was it? Like Brothers, basically, that bar. There was a fence back there, and I chained it to that. And after a night of drinking out of the bar, I go walking back to my bike, and there's two assholes who are like trying to like, they like just walked up on it and they're trying to pull my bike off, and they're like, oh, it's locked, what the heck. And they were like in the process, they were gonna steal it just for fun. They're like, oh, a bike, let's ride it somewhere. But I caught them in the act. But if it wasn't locked, they would have just hopped on it and ridden away, and I would have been running after them like, come back here.
Come back with my bike.
They seem like first timers because, like, oh, it's locked.
I never expected such a thing. Wait, you can get a DUI for riding a non-motorized bicycle?
Yeah.
It seems like it defeats the purpose of that law. Yeah.
Well, that's why they call it OWI, operating while intoxicated. So you could be riding a horse drunk in public and they're like,
Yeah.
well,
Huh.
you know they came up with that law just to go after the Canadian people. They're like, oh,
Yeah,
riding their horse around drunk again.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so stealing. Have any of you gone through that phase where you're like, I'm gonna go to a store and take something just for the thrill? Because I went through that phase. Yeah.
I was told it was a huge thrill, so I stole a chapstick once. It was like worth a dollar or two, and there was no thrill. I felt super ashamed and sad about it afterwards. I
It
know, I wanted to walk back in with it and give it to the manager and be like, I'm sorry, but I didn't.
I don't think I ever did. I had a friend who was into that, and I was an unwitting accomplice a couple of times. And it, yeah, I was a notorious good boy, so it made me very nervous to be around that.
So you were the lookout, huh?
I guess so.
Oh my gosh. That's great.
I knew someone who got arrested. It was this girl, and she was at like Walmart with her friend, or Target, or one of the two. Doesn't matter. And Their friend is like, "All right, well, since you drove here, I'm gonna check out. Do you want to go get the car and just pick me up front?" She's like, "Okay." So she wasn't buying anything. She goes out to her car, pulls up in front. They book it out of the store, just hop in, and they're like, "Drive." And she's like, "Well, okay." And they're like, "No, drive faster. I just stole all this shit." And she's like, "What the hell?" Well, the cops were called. They looked at the security footage. They saw it was her car and her license plate on it. So they show up at her house the next day, like she did it, and she's like, "It was my friend. They did it." She was like, "I was an unwilling accomplice." Like, she had no idea what was going on.
Tell it to
I
the
think,
judge.
yeah, I think she didn't get charged with it because, I mean, I think she threw her friend under the bus and they ended up, well, I guess they're probably not friends anymore.
Wow. My brother went through it pretty bad where he, like eventually he's like, "Man, they say the hardest place to steal from is Best Buy. I'm going in." Like he kind of like, yeah, he would like, "Oh, I haven't hit this place yet and I haven't hit that place yet." I'm like, "Oh my God, stop it."
It's
Yeah.
like Mission Impossible. He's like, "I can do this."
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, like I've had plenty of girlfriends, exes, where they were like, "Yeah, it's a phase. Every girl goes through that phase." Oh, all right. Well, you stole my heart, I'll tell you that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I gotta say though, like shoplifting, I definitely see as like lower on the things I hate list than stealing from like a private individual.
True.
Because like shoplifting and all that stuff is built into the business model of a store. Whereas like when you're just a guy and someone steals your shit, like you're not prepared for that.
Oh, it's such a violation, right? Don't you feel like exposed? Like, who's looking at me right now and shit like that?
Yeah, honestly, like when shit was stolen out of my car, it's more that, oh, someone was in my car, that's creepy, than like actually missing the thing.
Segway challenge.
I already said stealing
Yeah.
the show. Yeah, you used the good one already.
I know. let's vandalize.
Yes, go
Oh,
on.
yeah. No, this is going. Okay. For closies here, I'm indifferent to people who lie about their age. So, yeah, a couple months ago, about 5 months. Holy shit. I turned 40, and now. And I hated aging before this. Like I hated aging long time ago. And now I'm like, I understand why some people might want to lie about that. From what I can tell, it's mostly women who do, you know, or like, yeah, I mean, you don't ask them, right? But even if you had to ask, they'll probably like, "Oh, I'll shave off a couple of years, you know." I totally get it now because it's I'm not necessarily proud of saying I'm 4-0, man. Like it sucks. It's lame. But I have lied. I've lied to get in bars. How about that? Yeah, I've
Oh, you
done
lied in
that.
the opposite direction.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Oh, but this is the mind blower. All right. I had a friend several years and several year or yeah, plenty of years into it. One night we're partying and she's like, "Vince, I am actually, I don't know what number she said, but basically 3 years older than what I've believed her to be," or something like that, right? And you know, I really didn't care, so I'm like, "Oh, okay." And then the next night, so I'm like, "So how," I was trying to ask like something about ageism or what or whatever, "how does it feel to be this age?" It's like, "Oh, I'm not that age." I'm like, "What do you mean? That's not what you said the other day." She's like, "I didn't say that." I'm pretty sure you did. And why would you, like, okay, did you lie about being older? Why would you? Like, it doesn't matter at this point. Like, our ages, we were all like, I don't know, mid-20s, something like that. So I don't know. I've never heard of someone saying, "Oh, I'm actually this, like, older," in a drunken reveal. So I don't know. I don't know why she would lie about that. So yeah, that was weird. Yeah, what do you guys have to say about lying about your age?
I'm not aware of like knowing anyone in real life who has lied about their age, or if they are, they're keeping it up. I can see why like actresses do it, because I could literally imagine like a casting director seeing like, okay, 29, yep, they get an interview, they get an interview. Oh, 30, nope. She doesn't get an interview. Like, I could totally imagine that being a thing, so you just kind of want to keep that under wraps. But other than that, I mean, like, just in day-to-day life, it's like either like if you can pass as younger, then people just be like, oh, you look good for your age. Like, that would be like the extent of what people think of it. Like, I don't know, like in day-to-day life, what the benefit would be, but again, if someone like revealed to me like I'm actually 5 years older than I said, I'd be like, okay, whatever.
So you're not ashamed of your age, John. Is that what you're
My
saying?
age of 32 that we established a few
32
episodes ago. Yeah. Why would I be ashamed of
and a half, John. Come on.
that?
Oh, man.
I've never had reason to be ashamed of my age, just because, like, for whatever reason, I've often been just like the youngest one in the group I'm in. But that's changing now that I'm 39 years old. But like, for whatever reason, like in the work groups I would be in, like everyone was older than me, and finally I'm becoming like the old guy around the office.
Wow.
I'm getting the respect I deserve.
Wait, is there a shelf life though? Like once you hit 50, you're like, okay, bye, Z's, you're done.
I'm sure that, yeah, there's definitely gonna be like a perception of that, like you see someone of a certain age and you wonder like, are they gonna be able to keep up with all the technology changes and all the new programming languages and all the new protocols and everything. But in practice, like the people who are older, who have stuck around, seem like that's not a problem. Like they're able to keep up just fine.
Cool. Dave, loud and proud for your age, weight.
Like I'm
count.
39.
T
I don't care. I have no idea.
count.
Hopefully, average to above average, but who knows? I'm 39. I don't really care about my age. I'm not like, I would never lie about my age, but I do find it annoying every year around your birthday when you're like, oh yeah, it's my birthday last week. And people are like, how old are you? You're like, 39. And they're like, oh, you're almost 40. It's like, yeah. Like, you're 45, so what the fuck are you talking about? Like, why? It's there's always people who like seem to talk smack, but they're older people than me, so I don't know what they're trying to talk smack about. Like, I get it if you're 30 and you're talking shit to me, but don't be 45 and talk shit to me. You're older than me. I already win. There was on last season of Survivor, there was this lady named Sue, and
Oh, what do you do?
she was 60 years old. She was going around telling everyone she's 45. She had fake boobs and like lips that were like really blown up and like duck lips, super inflated. So maybe she thought she looked 45 and people would buy it, but like there's no one was gonna buy that she was 45. She looked 60. And her rationale was, well, if people think I'm younger, they'll think I'm more of a threat and that I'm not some old grandma. And it's like, look at yourself. You're like old and frail. Like, you look 60. Like, you're not fooling anyone. And at the end of the day, like, people are like, at the finale show, they're like, she's like, I'm actually 60. And people are like, oh. And they just nodded. And it's like, yeah, nobody fucking bought it. There was no like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Like, you can tell by looking at somebody how old they are. And there's some people who wear it worse than others. There's people who are 55 that look 65, depending on your lifestyle. But I mean, I don't know. I work at a hospital, so I see old people all day long. And you're lucky to become an old person. You really are, because it means you didn't die when you were in your 40s or 50s. It's a good thing to make it that long if you're lucky enough. But like, is it going to be easy once you're that old? Like, hell no. It's like a slow, torturous journey to getting to that age where like your body's breaking down, but it's like you're lucky to get there, but it's not like a happy prize at the end.
Yes, join us in the great crumbling of life. That's all I hear, man. Yeah, and okay, is dyeing your hair lying about your age in a way?
Yeah, I mean,
Age-defying makeup, eh?
moisturizer.
Yeah, just sensible hydration throughout the Oh man. Yeah, but do you guys, okay, you guys have wives. Do they tend to smudge the numbers a little bit?
Not unless she's been doing it since I've known her and hasn't backed down and lied on her driver's license.
I've seen my wife's birth certificate, so it all checks out.
All right. That's the show. Tell them about the email, John.
Well, like we're sick of coming up with our own topics, so get these lazy listeners and viewers to help us out a bit. So if you have something that you love, hate, or are indifferent to, send an email to topics at afewgoldilockbears.com. We'll put a link in the show notes here and tell us what you love, hate, or are indifferent to and why. And maybe we'll talk about it on the show.